just try to guess which hot zone we're going to talk about today on the podcast. I'll give you 15 seconds. Go.
This is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Wrong. You didn't get it right. Did you know there are troops from the United States serving in 170 countries across the globe? And you might be surprised to know the Pentagon reports that in March, we had troops in places like Bolivia, Bahrain, Bangladesh, and it even reports we have two soldiers in Venezuela. I wonder what the heck they're doing there. Anyway, the most surprising thing to me is that most of the countries where we have U.S. troops, there are less than 100 of them. But the places where we have more than that, one place very few Americans even know about is Kosovo. Kosovo isn't actually even fully recognized as a country, but the almost 2 million people who live there definitely want it to be. And the problem is political and geographic and religious divisions that have made this little slice of the former Yugoslavian country a pretty violent place for much of its history. And one of the most violent periods was in 1998 and 99, when the Kosovo Liberation Army fought for their independence from Yugoslavia. Now, this sparked a massive refugee crisis with over 1 million people displaced. The worst of it was 20 years ago this week.
They're being herded out of the country like cattle, the dispossessed. The UN Refugee Agency said 2,500 people were crammed onto these trains heading for Macedonia. On Wednesday, another 5,000 were forcibly expelled by train. Everyone interviewed told similar stories of masked men in uniforms knocking on doors and telling people to leave or be killed. And of the darkest days at the end of World War II, with refugees streaming in all directions. Shocked and exhausted, the refugees arrived in Macedonia, safe at last. But they're in need of food, clothing, housing and medical attention.
20 years ago, we were expelled from Pristina, my father, my mom and my brother. We went to the train station. Unfortunately, it was full of people. My mom was sick. We had to push her through the window in the train. We left the road. We reached Honia Lezit. It was raining, full of people. We were walking through this railway. We were told that there are minefields. We reached at the Blace mud. We stayed for 13 hours, full of people. This is an extraordinary memory. I'm so happy that today we are free. I hope this will never happen in Europe and all over the world. And I hope that the future will not repeat this history.
Now, unfortunately, that history is still being repeated in all too many places around the globe, from Venezuela to Syria, North Africa, and lots of other places. I'm still getting messages every day from the people you helped me help when I was in Venezuela, and they're telling me things are still very, very tough. They struggle to work, to eat, and to find hope in what looks like an increasingly hopeless situation. Well, I visited our troops in Kosovo a few years ago, and unfortunately, not much has changed since then. We still have over 600 troops stationed there as peacekeepers. That's about a battalion of National Guard, currently the unit from Alaska.
This afternoon, we're running a little team leader certification training. We've established a scenario that's very similar to one that we might encounter in Kosovo. Locals have found what they believe is to be a UXO in their backyard, and they've called KP, who in turn called K4 and sent out Task Force EOD to respond to it. Our overall mission is to provide a safe and secure environment and freedom of movement in Kosovo. So, and the way we can do that is by eliminating any explosive hazards that are in the area. We find a lot of mortars, projectiles, old submunitions, that kind of thing. Sometimes mines too, but yeah.
They train on peacekeeping operations and do presence patrols around the country because, unfortunately, there's still a lot of deep-seated animosity between the Kosovars and their neighbors to the north in Serbia. Check this out. Most people in America don't realize that there are still U.S. troops on the ground here, and what they're doing might surprise you. The friction taking place in Kosovo is very similar to that seen along other conflicted borders around the world. From the Arizona-Mexico border to the frontier between Afghanistan and Pakistan, all share the same thorny, complicated issues that result in problems like drug and human smuggling, social inflammation, and other geopolitical problems.
It's not about Muslims versus Christians. It's nationalism over here. It's about Serbia, and it's about Kosovo.
The Kosovars are made up of about 90% Albanians, and they would like to have their own country here called Kosovo. Serbia probably wouldn't have a problem with that, except for the fact that up in the north, there are a lot of minerals and there's a lot of natural resources that Serbia would like to keep. And so the dispute is really over those resources and the cultural differences between the Albanian Kosovars and the Serbian Kosovars.
There are atrocities on both sides. There are no angels here in Kosovo.
Part of our legacy here was the peacekeeping to cease that inter-ethnic violence that was going on about 12 years ago.
The UN mission here is known as KFOR, and it's made up of over 30 countries. The government of Kosovo has, with help from various world bodies, tried to get these two groups to integrate by building housing developments for Serbs in Albanian areas. These are relative ghost towns to this day, as the age-old rivalries prove very hard to break. The predominantly Christian Serbs and mostly Muslim Albanians keep an uneasy peace, with each group bearing the memory of atrocities committed against it by the other.
Kosovo Serbs, particularly in the south, are seeing their homes vandalized and trashed and wrecked. The Kosovo Serbs up north are going out of their way to agitate the Kosovo Albanians and pick on the government of Kosovo. They're very resistant to having the government of Kosovo imposed in the north.
Like other disputed areas around the globe, corruption plays a large part in maintaining the status quo. And the weak central government here makes Kosovo a hotbed for organized crime.
Dating back to July of 2011, roadblocks really started appearing in northern Kosovo, preventing mostly institutions of Kosovo and also KFOR to an extent from driving up north, and also ULEX.
One of KFOR's jobs has been to remove these roadblocks, and on one occasion in January 2012, doing so resulted in a firefight with angry locals in which two German peacekeepers were wounded.
We removed what they considered a strategic roadblock at a place called Rudari, and we got the jump on them, so they were very, very agitated about that, and they were pretty upset for a good 3 weeks. We were getting very direct threats.
The peacekeepers here seem to be well regarded, more so by the Kosovo Albanians than the Serbs, but the KFOR mission is not to take sides, only to ensure freedom of movement for all parties. This task has been accomplished by the 30 contributing nations which make up the multinational battle group year after year. In 2012, part of that job fell to the more than 800 U.S. National Guard troops who comprised the American commitment to KFOR.
We put together a team from all over the United States, 30 different states in our battle group. We have 8 different countries that support us, that we work hand in hand with. Learning the mission from a NATO, from an international perspective, was much different than other deployments we might have seen in Iraq and Afghanistan as an organization.
They're headquartered here at Camp Bondsteel, an hour south of Pristina. At nearly 1,000 acres, Bondsteel was built to sustain up to 7,000 troops, several times the number who live here today. The base is well equipped with restaurants, a movie theater, fitness centers, and a well-stocked post exchange. We spent the night at Camp Bondsteel, which is kind of their main post here. So today we're driving up to what they call Gate 1, which is right on the administrative boundary line between what's considered to be Kosovo and Serbia. And that's a very much disputed area where they've had some more recent action in the form of conflict as they go and try to remove roadblocks and ensure freedom of movement for the populace there. There's a lot more tension in that area. This is the main crossing point for traffic coming south into Kosovo, and smuggling is a major issue in this area. Because the boundary with Serbia is so porous, the National Guard spends lots of time exploring the remote regions along the border, looking for illegal crossing points.
They got a lot of refugees that come through here, and they're just now standing up an infrastructure to help deal with them.
Worse than here, that they come here.
Afghanistan, Pakistan, Africa, Greece from the east. Kosovo is a really good transshipment point. Great place for people to use as sort of like a truck stop. The borders are fairly porous. It's very difficult for them to enforce the borders and, you know, check things as they go through because they don't pay the border police very much. And so they get a lot of traffic going through back and forth.
A lot of human trafficking.
There's a lot of human trafficking, yes. Whole humans, pieces of humans, take your pick. The infrastructure is standing up to try and get a grip on the human trafficking and the way people move through here. And we're kind of trying to, we're watching that develop, and it's a good place to meet people. A lot of interesting people go through there.
The biggest problem that people have on the Kosovo Serb and the Serbian side is that because they don't recognize Kosovo's independence, they don't think that they should have to go through customs to go into what they believe is part of their country.
This control point lies along the administrative boundary line between Kosovo and Serbia back behind me. Some of the Serbs have had a problem with it being here because they don't believe it needs to be because Kosovo doesn't have a right to exist. For that reason, they came and burned it to the ground at one point, and that resulted in a larger American and NATO presence here, a place they call Gate One.
The military presence has been enhanced here since last summer because of the gate being burned down last year. Part of what our mission up here is to make sure that the bypasses that we have blocked with Serbia are staying blocked. And we also set up vehicle control points at other unauthorized entry points to control the amount of unauthorized goods coming in.
The population of Kosovo is very cooperative with us. They're very thankful, obviously, that we're here. And they're looking for unity within Kosovo and for the Kosovo government to move forward in their progression, in their forming and movement towards becoming a country at some point.
Kosovo has the youngest population in all of Europe, but it still faces the same kinds of political problems that you find everywhere else. One of the big problems here is unemployment. The rate is above 60%, and these political parties may not be able to do much about that.
They're having a hard time providing for the essentials that the people need. They had a particularly difficult winter this year. They got more snow this year than ever, with everything from electricity to food to basic services to education. They're in a really rough spot. And the government right now doesn't seem to be doing much to help.
Today we're on a patrol in these remote mountainous regions of northern Kosovo because these mountain roads are used by smugglers to bring in everything from drugs to people to illegal firewood, you name it.
The peace and quiet in the mountains of northern Kosovo, along with the beautiful views, made it easy to forget the turmoil that has gripped this land for so many decades. But that didn't last for long. When we got near the border, we found an entire hillside stripped bare of the lush forest, which had stood there only weeks before.
They use wood for cooking, for heating. It's cheaper than propane and easier for them to use, so wood is a huge commodity here.
Wood cutting here for fuel has been a custom for as long as history has been recorded.
It's a large part of their natural resource in terms of taking care of their families.
There's been an environmental protection bent in both countries, Serbia and Kosovo, to preserve those trees. Serbians cutting in Kosovo, Kosovars cutting in Serbia. Bottom line is, it's illegal.
They have a lot of problems with timber poachers. You know, they come up here and cut firewood illegally.
It's not only taking that resource away, but there is no opportunity being taken advantage of to replenish that resource that's being harvested.
It increases tension with law enforcement on both sides because that's just one more thing that they gotta look after.
If you look down the hill there, there's a hillside that's been completely denuded of timber and then burned. It's a real mess.
When it's harvested without a permit, it's not properly managed, it's not replanted, it's gone forever. And that's the issue that Kosovo has with it, and that's why they really need to try and shut it down.
We've just come upon some guys that are engaged in illegal logging right now. And these guys are known to shoot at anybody that comes up on them.
We found these Serbs hard at work stealing an entire forest, coming across the border and shipping the stolen lumber back north. KFOR doesn't have the authority to make arrests and must remain neutral between the two countries. In order to get more intelligence about the timber thieves, the soldiers approached them, pretending to be lost. Since there were no English speakers in their group or Serb speakers in ours, a tense game of charades ensued. We ended up sharing some of our MREs and water with them and leaving, frustrated that we couldn't do more to stop the destruction.
It's a much different mission than Iraq and Afghanistan, and we'll be able to look back here someday and tell our children that, you know what, I was part of that, and I helped bring this region to where it is today.
Well, that's all I've got for today, folks. I hope you're enjoying the podcast, and stay tuned. I've got some really super episodes coming up very soon. So please like and share the podcast. And if you want to watch the podcast, check it out on opslens.com and go watch that video version there. So I'm Chuck Holton. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Livefire Media. Copyright 2019.